All right, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah. Good afternoon. Can you please give a high five to the person seated right behind you? And tell that person, I'm so glad you're here tonight. We're down to the ninth. Can you imagine that? Ninth installment of our series called 10. Perfect law, perfect love. Tiniis natin to every single Sunday, di ba? Alam ko minsan tinatamaan tayo pag nagpipreach tayo dito. Pero I do understand that, you know what, this has been beneficial for all of us. Amen? And tonight, we are actually on the second to the last installment of this series. And before I go there, before we get to the word, let me just say something for a while. We cannot be a church who's not involved in what's happening in the world around us. You know, we have a powerful arsenal in us, and that is prayer. I want us to pray for Turkey. Okay, guys, know what happened to Turkey? Okay, there was a failed coup d'etat, okay? Filipinos should know how a coup d'etat would feel like, and we've had a couple of those, and there's something that happened to them. Of course, there was another terrorist attack that happened in Nice, France, okay? And you guys also know what's happening between China and the Philippines. If you're here and you're Chinese, we love you. This is the Scarborough Shoal. I read this on the internet. Sabi niya, finally, sa atin na yung Kalburo Shoal. Gusto ko talaga siyang komentan. Sabi ko, hindi po Kalburo yan, yung Kalburo Mangga yun. Di ba? Scarborough Shoal. Now, here's what we're gonna look at here this afternoon. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Okay, it's one verse basically, and this is what it says here. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. All right, that's the ninth commandment right there. You know, for us to start rolling this, the best way for us to understand this text is basically to understand the word neighbor. Okay, can everybody say neighbor? We have to understand what the word neighbor encompasses here. Now, the original Hebrew for the neighbor here is the word rea, okay, which means companion, friend, fellow, brother, or lover. All right? So, when we start talking about neighbor in the context of the Ten Commandments, we're not just talking about your neighbor across the street. All right? We're not talking about your neighbor na grabe magpadaob, masakit sa ilong. That's not the neighbors that we're talking about. They are included in this category. Okay, neighbor here talks about the person seated beside you, people that you love, together with the people that you hate. Alright? Now, we guys know this. You know the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are basically things that are catered towards God. And it has the potential for us to offend God if we don't follow the first four commandments, okay? But the last six commandments are things that God basically gave Moses for us to relate well with our neighbors. And that includes every single humans around us. Okay, look at the person beside you for a while. Okay, that man or woman included. All right? That is included in the neighbor category that we're looking at here. Now, if we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, when I started reading this, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I don't know with you, but to a certain degree, the terminologies used here sounds like that are used in the courtroom. And truth is, yes, it actually covers that, but not exclusively just that. Okay, this is not just something that is applicable in the courtroom. It is also applicable outside the courtroom. Okay, why did I say courtroom? Because it talks about witnessing, bearing false witness against our neighbor. Let's try to understand this for a while, okay? Now, all of us know this. In the ancient world, there are no CCTVs. Okay, there's no, you know, your favorite crime scene, CSI, or some of you watch Crime Investigation Channel. During their time, they don't have any of these things. So, look, all of us here know that, especially in our generation right now, in the advent of social media, CCTVs are actually helpful in fighting crime. Amen? Now, during their time, they don't have that. So, meaning to say, truth and justice will only turn up based solely on the credibility of the witness's testimony. So, meaning to say, when there are crazy things that are happening, when there is a crime, they will have to look for a witness. Whatever the witness says brings so much weight on the crime of the accused. For example, of course, you guys here have been involved in a car accident or motorcycle accident. Okay, tapos nagtatalo kayo, kasalanan mo kasi, mga ganun. Now, during their time, of course, they don't have motorcycles, but they do have camels. So, I don't know, maybe during their time, you know, a camel and a camel collision would happen. And People would say, because that camel beat the red light. No, it was yellow when I crossed the intersection. So what's going to happen is that the owner of camel A and owner of camel B will get into an argument. They will have to depend on eyewitnesses' account. Okay, when there's someone who would come on the front and say, you know, this is actually your fault because your camel wasn't looking when the camel crossed. So that's why these things happened. So the role of a witness is actually very, very important. Now, there's something I want us to understand about how things are done in the court during their time. Okay, now look. In our generation right now, people would say you are innocent until proven guilty. Am I right? That's the thing that we are holding on to. But during their time, that was not the case. The case was something like this. You are guilty until proven innocent. So whenever someone would accuse you of something, to a certain extent, you are already guilty. It's now up to the witnesses that would come in to prove you otherwise. Okay, that would basically give the people a clean slate towards you, okay? All right. Now, look at this one. In the ancient world, that was the arrangement. But that was not the case in Israel. Because in Israel, look at this one. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that has been committed. Only on the evidence of two or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. So, why did God give this provision? Because in the olden times, other people would do it this way. One eyewitness is enough to convict you of a crime. Okay? The problem there is, for example, no? Magkagalit kami ni Blaze. Okay? And something happened between me and Kiko. Maybe out of Blaze's anger towards me, he would come up as a witness. Guess what? As a witness against me to convict me of the crime that I did towards Kiko. Now, guess what? Just because of one eyewitness, I can be convicted of a crime. The problem during their time was that a lot of crimes were punishable by death. So that was a big problem in the olden times. That's why God made a provision. There has to be two or three witnesses. You know, sometimes there's always wisdom in how we do things. If you're here and you are a Victory Group leader, people come up to you to sort out their problems. Whenever you sort out problems, you don't do that on your own. That's why you always have to bring witnesses. Now, in their days, you know, the words of an eyewitness is very important. In fact, it is so important that if you are a witness and people will catch that you're lying, meaning to say you're giving a false testimony, you know what's going to happen? The punishment that was supposed to be given to the person who's accused will be given to you. That's why it would always say, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, okay, some of you might be asking, how will that relate to our current generation right now? Whenever you look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. How does that apply to our generation right now? It's as simple as this one. For all of us, it could basically mean, do not lie. Okay? Tell the person beside you for a while, liars, go to church. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, basically says we should not be lying, okay, as Christians. Now, let's try to be honest here. Okay, who am I here can honestly say that at a certain point in your life, you've already lied. For those of you not lifting your hands, you've just lied, okay? Different kinds of lying in the vernacular, it's basically as lying towards someone. That may be white lies or what kind of lies. At the end of the day, all those things are lies. One of you have done this before. You told someone you're going to be there at 9 in the morning. You got there. Filipino time for foreigner friends here. You got used to this already? Filipino time says it will always be 9:30. Guess what? 9:30 to take a bath. Okay, so they'll be at the meeting place at 10 in the morning. Let your words be true. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Sometimes we give out a lot of empty promises for that matter. Now, I do understand some of you are becoming confused. All the guys here, I do understand some of you are doing this every day. You know, every time you wake up, you talk to yourself, man, you're the most handsome guy in the world. You have the prettiest smile in the world. You look at yourself and everything. You guys do that? Now, look, just to make you feel good, all the guys here, just to make you feel good, I don't think that's lying. That's called faith. Keep declaring that until it happens. Okay, you're just being full of faith for that matter. Okay? Alam niyo mga ladies, kala niyo kayo lang vain? Yung mga lalaki, they talk to the mirror more than you do. You just don't know that, okay? Anyway, well, I'm not here to expose the guys. Okay, let's talk about lying. I think we're on the same boat whenever we start talking about lying. And the problem here is that, you know, whatever the degree of lie is, whatever the consequence of the lie is, at the end of the day, that is a lie. And a lie is a sin. Lying is a sin. Amen? And guess what? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is? So at the end of the day, we are on the same page. Okay, we are always in need of a Savior because we are all liars. Now, let's look at some of the foundational truths about lying. Okay, let's look at the scripture for a while. Let's look at what the Bible says about lying and things that we have to understand. Number one is this one. I want us to understand that God hates lying. God hates lying. Guess what? As much as God hates adultery, okay, as much as God hates, like what Patrick was sharing last week, as much as God hates stealing, God hates lying as well. Okay? Well, here, you have best friends. Can I see your hand? All right. Irish or Korean friends, you guys don't know what a best friend means to a Filipino, okay? We Filipinos, we have several best friends. 5 in elementary, 6 in high school, 7 in the church. We have a lot of best friends, so we just call everyone best friend. Okay, we call him best, this one, we call him BFF, whatever. Now, when you have best friends, you are more open to them in terms of conversation, right? For example, your best friend would always approach you and they will tell you the things that you need to hear, things that would annoy them about you, right? You know, men would always approach other men, alam mo bro, I don't like the way you talked to me a while ago. I felt so, you know, disrespected by you. Ladies are also like that, right? Ladies, when they confront each other, it's really different. They would really lift their eyebrows. You know what? I don't like what you did to me a while ago. I mean, ladies are like that. And the thing with ladies, you know, they enumerate a lot of things. You know what? 2012. I can't even remember that. And I'll tell you what, if you read your Bible, you'd come to understand that God has his list as well. He has a list with him, and these are lists that he really hates. Okay, look at this one. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, it says here, there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Imagine that this belongs to God's top list, top 6, top 7. And the amazing thing here is that in his list, lying occupies 2 places. A lying lips and one who bears false witness. So at the end of the day, we understand God really hates lying. Okay, whenever we start lying, God gives a face palm. Man, here you go, you're lying again. And not just that, if you read this, one who sows discord among brothers, one who comes in to disunite people, to cause division, this happens in the church often. One who comes in to cause division, a divisive spirit, a lot of times it always includes lying. Right. So at the end of the day, I want us to understand, God really hates this. Okay, the word lying here comes from the Hebrew word seker, which means falsehood or deception. Now I want us to think about this for a while. Why in the world is God so angry with lying? Why does he hate lying so much? Come to think with me for a while. Why? Because lying reminds him of something and lying reminds him of someone. What am I talking about? Look at this one. The very first lie in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. That's the first lie that was ever uttered. We know that this was a lie because, true enough, when they ate of the fruit, what happened to them? Death basically came to mankind. And that was the first lie that we could find there. Now, I want us to understand this. This is how crafty the devil is. And sometimes we don't know that we're following the pattern of Satan. Look at this one. Satan, the devil didn't say, Eve, if you eat the fruit, you will die. He didn't say that. He said, you will certainly die. Does that sound familiar? On the 30th, I am so certain I'm going to pay you. I am so sure that there's something in there if we go there. We really try to what? To lure and convince people that what we're talking about is true. Whereas we know for a fact that it is one big lie. We try to make it so convincing for that matter. Okay, another thing that I want us to understand about lying is not just the fact that God hates lying. I feel like some of you need to hear this afternoon. I want us to understand that the God you worship, God never lies. He's the author of truth. Everything about him is basically true. In fact, when he started talking to his disciples were like, is this for real? He started talking about his resurrection. True enough, he resurrected on the third day when he died. God is the author of truth. I want you to understand this. Who am I? You love reading your Bible. Come on. I want us to understand, friends, that the Word of God is truth. If you look at this logically right now, there are circumstances in your life that will try to what? Negate the truth. Guess what? Truth is absolute. There are situations, there are people, there are opinions, there are thoughts that will try to negate the truth of God's Word. Here's my question. Does that make the truth less of a truth? Of course not. Why? Because truth is always absolute. And the Word of God is always absolute. Look at this one. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says here, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies. Okay? The God that we worship, he never lies. Lying is something foreign in his tongue. There are several promises that you got from God's Word. Okay? Together with believing God's promises, we also have to hold on to God's wisdom. Okay, and of course, we have to be patient as we start preparing ourselves to receive all of these promises. Now, God hates lying. Second thing, God never lies. And the third one is something that we all need to understand. And here it is. The devil is the father of lies. So, what's happening here? Okay, whenever you lie, you're like making mano po to the devil. Mano po, hindi tito ah, dad. It's something like this. Is the father of life. Meaning to say, he started this all. You know, we start talking about who's the father of modern chemistry. Who's the father of modern dermatology or stuff like that. The Bible is very clear, okay, that Satan is the father of lies. Look at this one. John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out his own character. Other translation would say, he speaks out his own tongue or his own language. Okay, who among you can speak at least two languages? Come on. Okay, some of you can speak English and Tagalog. Okay, I think Patrick can speak English, Persian, Armenian, and Cebuano. Irish, what do you know? Okay, that's a lot. Okay? Urdu, English, Punjabi. Okay, a little bit of Tagalog, and soon Bisaya. All right, so all of us will teach you. All right. Look, if you have a native tongue, you don't stutter in speaking it. Right? If your native tongue is English, you will not have a hard time speaking English. Okay? That's why I'm really having a hard time. Okay? If your language is Tagalog, you don't have problem speaking Tagalog. And that is what this verse is saying. You know what? It's plain language. Whenever you start speaking, it's just all lies. I want you to understand this. Some of you here, you're allowing yourselves, your minds, to be filled with lies from the devil. Look at this one. Whatever thoughts that you may have now, that you feel like does not honor God, does not belong to God. It's just basically the lies of the devil. The reason why we get offended, the reason why we hurt people, the reason why we lie, the reason why we steal is because there are a lot of lies that has occupied our minds already. And the Bible is very clear. God is not the one who basically propagates that in us. No, it is the devil himself. The work of the devil is something like this. He's not brilliant enough to know what you have in your thoughts. I mean, he is not God. Of course, he has power, but his power is always limited. So he doesn't know what is happening or what is running in your mind. So when you know what he's going to do, what he's going to do is that he's going to throw in lies after lies 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's up to us now to counter all of those lies with what? With the truth of God's word. Don't you realize that those days that you're not reading your Bible are the days that you easily fall to temptation? Because you don't have truth in you. That's why you always need the truth of God's word, for that matter. I have here some pictures of guys who love lying. At least, I mean, this guy, I saw this on the internet. Different level of lies. Look at this guy right here. Like, he posted something on his Facebook account. He said, "Man, I'm so thin, but I can carry this barbell." But he doesn't know. He took his picture. There's a mirror right behind him. The mirror right behind him basically showed that, you know what? Those plates are fake. He's just carrying 2 plates. All right? You know, people would say in our Facebook, sometimes what we post on our Facebook are how we want ourselves to be projected. In fact, people would tell me, you know, the real you are your tag pictures, not your profile pictures. All right? How about in media? Okay, there are also lies in the media. Okay, if you're here, you're from the media, you know this. You know the business in there. I'm not saying you're the liar. Okay, your workmate, not you, okay? Look at this one. 2 different newspapers, same picture, the other one's edited. Okay, the first one shows a guy driving the motorboat. The second picture shows that the driver is gone. Baka nahulog. Yung pinicture ng ibang newspaper. Just to be able to sell something, they would do something like that. Have you encountered, you know, guys who love selling products? Hindi ko po maintindihan. Pag sa TV, grabe, sobrang mabula ng mga sabong panlaba. Pag ginamit ko na, hindi mo mabula. I remember this M&M commercial before. M&M, it melts in your mouth and not in your hand, right? Guess what? I tried that. It melted in my hands. Okay, so. Like this guy right here is marketing, "Hey, if you join us, if you're part of our company, you're gonna have this check with this much $1,000. He had his picture taken, but guess what? His shadow doesn't show any big check. They would just use all of his strategy to what? To deceive people, for that matter. There was a good band, an old band that came to town, and the organizer would want to market this band. They put out a picture of the band, and here's the great tree of the band. Problem is, pansin mo, ba't may kamay yung isa? Okay, so, badly edited, for that matter, badly edited. Different kinds of lies. Right? Mommy, can I say that you've actually lied the past 1 week? Can I see your hand for a while? All right. We've done this. I mean, we keep doing this. Nobody's exempted from this one. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to quickly talk about some ways at which we lie, together with empty promises, plainly lying to escape a consequence. I want to outline some few things that we normally do, and sometimes we don't know that these things are lying. Number one is flattery. I want to talk about flattery for a while. Look at this one. Psalm chapter 12, verse 2. "Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak." Now, sometimes when someone tells you something, what do you say? They will tell you, "Grabe ang gwapo mo naman." Grabe, napaka-flattered ko naman. You know, sometimes we love the feeling of being flattered. If you read your Bible, the Bible has so many things to say about flattery, and a lot of them are not good. Tapos gusto mo pa ma-flatter. Now, what in the world is flattery? Look at this one. Flattery comes from the Hebrew word helka, which means smoothness. Okay? Flattery is what? It is an excessive giving of insincere compliments for the purpose of deceiving the subject. You catch that? You know, you have been flattered by someone at a certain point in your life. Okay? What does it mean? Now, look. I want us to distinguish this from encouragement. You know, Barnabas was called a son of encouragement. That's a different thing. Someone would come to you and encourage you. They don't want anything from you. They just give it plainly and sincerely. But there are those people, okay, in the office, in the classroom, who would tell you so many things, so many great things about you, but at the back of their mind, they just want to get something from you. You folks catch that? That is what flattery is. What is the difference between the two? An encouragement is intended to benefit the recipient, whereas flattery benefits the flatterer. Encouragement has no strings attached. Flattery, there's something that you want to get from the person. It's something like this. Have you ever tried this before? You know, you're late for a barkada meeting and they're already there waiting for you. The moment you came in, they keep telling you, alam mo bro, among all of us, truth be told, hands down, you're the most guapo person here. Alam mo bro, hindi ko namin maintindihan. Pag na-insecure kami, pag dumarating ka, sobrang guapo mo kasi. Ikaw naman parang, uy, grabe, sarap naman feel ito. Sabihin sa'yo, bay, paliti tagkok. You folks catch that? You would say so many good things about the person. A lot of them are insincere. It's not even true. It's just that you wanna what? You wanna inflate the quote-unquote ego of the person until he'll become a subject to you when you want something from him or from her. That is basically what a flattery is. When you're here and you're working, you're sip-sip to your boss. Or you're a student and you're so sip-sip to your teacher. You give a lot of flattery words. Why? Because you want to be promoted. Guess what? Wait for your promotion. Okay, God will orchestrate it for you. Don't have to skim your way towards it. Okay, you don't have to do it on your own for that matter. Whenever I would disciple someone and I would detect a flattering lips from a guy especially, I would always come in and correct that person. Whenever I would realize that this person is just giving too much compliment without being sincere about it, okay, kasi sometimes, lalo na sa victory, minsan uso yung mga ganun, na parang, puro, come on, parang, oh, come on, ano bang gagawin natin? Kasi minsan, nagpipreach ako, may sinabi akong nonsense, sabi ng isa, come on! Nonsense. Gusto na natin ma-flatter or whatever. Okay? I would talk to this person and I would sense that this guy has a flattery lips. I would have to correct that person on the onset. You know why? And this is especially for the guys. Because if you look at that word, it says smoothness. Okay, the meaning of that is what? Smooth talk. A lot of times, if flattery is not dealt, flattery leads to adultery. For the guys, you know what it's called in our generation right now? Hokage moves. You guys know that, right? You do all of these Hokage moves to get into a girl and stuff like that. That's why if you're a guy, mahilig ka man bola ng babae, sinabihan mo itong babae, alam mo, ikaw ang pinakamagandang babae na namit ko sa buong buhay ko. Guess what? Pang-sampo ka. Sinabi niya na sa lahat ng mga best friend niyang babae yan. You catch that? Ikaw naman, babae, parang, wow! No one has ever told me that before. Oo nga, kaya nga smooth talker. Flattery lips. Ikaw naman parang, wow, I'm so in love with this person anymore. Naku, yari. Anyway, now, what's the worst kind of flattery? This is funny, but guess what? The worst kind of flattery is what? Flattering yourself. I mean, that's the worst kind of flattery. The Bible has something to say about you flattering yourself. Now look at this one. Psalm 36 verse 8 says here, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and what? And hated for that matter. I mean, that's crazy. It's something like this. You look at yourself in the mirror. Alam mo bro, alam mo, ang galing-galing mo, ang bait mo. I don't think that's just flattery. That's craziness. I mean, there's something wrong with you. Okay? Please, if you will talk to yourself, do it when you're in your room. Do not do it when you're walking in Lee Plaza, in Robinson's. I mean, that's just crazy, okay? Please don't talk to yourself while walking. Uy bro, parang, ba't may kausap ka? Ah, si God, next na. Dinamay mo pa si God, ah. Why would we flatter ourselves? A lot of times, we flatter ourselves when we sin. Okay, because we committed a mistake, we did something that does not honor God. Instead of repenting from that, instead of asking someone to pray for you, what do? You flatter yourself. Okay lang yan, nag-serve ka naman sa church. Okay lang yan, yung iba nga kanina sa church, late ako, early. First row pa. Okay. First row pa, yung iba nakatayo lang, ako early sa church. Okay lang yan, okay lang yung scene natin. That's why sometimes you don't want to flatter yourself. Because why? You try to remind yourself of good things that you've done to conceal or to cover up the things that you have been doing. Okay? All you have to do is just repent because anyway, you are forgiven. We just have to basically understand. Another thing here is deception. Okay, this is another kind of lie that a lot of us would love doing. Look at this on 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Okay? Now, if you would look at this text right here, why in the world did Jesus mention little children here? Okay, this will be quick. Because all of us know this. Little children are what? They're gullible. It's easy to what? It's easy to play around with the mind of a child. Right? You tell a child, can you please get me that towel and I'll give you chocolate later. Wala namang chocolate. Tamad ka lang. Pinabot mo na yung towel sa bata. Because little children are gullible. And that is an encouragement for us. Okay? Let no one deceive us. So meaning to say, when Jesus would say this, okay, when this is being said right here, what we have to understand is what? The person who's at fault here is the one deceiving and the one who's being deceived. That's what John is basically saying. And we have to understand that when you're deceived, guess what? You wouldn't know that you're deceived because you are deceived. You folks catch that? And we shouldn't be deceiving people for that matter. How many have experienced this? Something was advertised on TV. I mean, Patrick talked about this last week. This is not just lying, this is also stealing. You're stealing people's money. Okay? Because I paid for that hamburger with lettuce and everything. And that's the reality that I get. Magkambal pandesal na lang ako. I mean, that's deception for that matter. You love traveling, okay? There are travel companies that would offer you, you know what, we have a promo, it's just 5,000 to Beijing, you get to witness the Great Wall of China. Wow! You're imagining you to have your selfies taken, and that's what you get. You didn't realize that there's like, what, 15,000 of you bought the package. Deceptive marketing for that matter. Okay, sometimes, you know, one of the biggest industries right now will always be something that will cater to what? To health. Okay, because a lot of people now are health conscious, okay? Please don't look at me, okay? Some of the guys here, okay? And sometimes you buy a product, all organic, everything, all organic, taken from the mountain of Himalayas and everything. Sige ko talagang inakyat nyo yun, ha? Tapos pagtingin mo, sa ingredients, you always check the ingredients, nakalagay sa ingredients, refined sugar. Walang kwenta yung galing Himalayas na yung kung may refined sugar yan. You know, deceptive practices that we're doing, okay? So, maybe some of you will go to Robinson's later, check all the labels. You can do that. Just to prove my point, okay? Okay, how about white lies, okay? White lies. At the end of the day, guess what? It's still lying. I told you a while ago, you guys have best friend. If your best friend would ask you, does my breath stink? What do you say?
Dili ba? Dili ba? Dili ba?
Just tell them their breath stinks. They need to hear that. You know what I hate about guys who are like that? Who would ask if their breath stinks? I mean, there's no problem if they ask you, does my breath stinks? But I hate when they do this to me, does my breath stinks? Do you have to do that? Just be truthful. Just tell them, if the blouse doesn't look good, it doesn't look good. There's nothing we can do about it. Okay? If the armpit stinks, it stinks. I mean, it stinks. I literally, you know, bought someone a deodorant. Bro, you know what? This will help you. There's so much power in this, brother. Patrick and I were in Manila last week, and he went to submit all of his papers in UST. So I went with him because I needed to meet someone as well. So when we had our free time, I actually encouraged him, you know, because you're getting into a new school, why don't you get yourself brand new jeans? So he said, that sounds like a good idea. So I went with him to the mall. We went into this boutique, and he started checking some jeans. Of course, he knows that I'm not going to pay for that. He'll have to pay for that. But anyway, he started looking at his jeans, so he brought some of the jeans inside the fitting rooms, and then he would come out, he would wear his jeans, and would ask me, okay, Archie, what do you think about this? I said, wow, that looks good, bro. Really looks good. And he would go back inside, comes out with another jeans, and he would ask me, how about this one? I think that really looks great. It looks great, bro. I was just being honest. And the third time he went out, he started asking me, what do you think about this? I told him, I think the first two are better than that one. And he said, this is my jeans. He said, this is the jeans that I'm using. I was like, oh, sorry. I'm just telling the truth. The first two looks better. I don't know what he felt after that. I just told him that the first two are actually better. So when your friends ask you, you know, whatever it is, just tell them plainly. You don't have to flatter the person. Okay, it's for their benefit. Yeah. Right? You don't have to deceive them by making them feel like they look so good. Tapos paglabas sila, they don't look good. So just tell them. Okay? So talking about gullible people, where do you think can you find a lot of the gullible people? In the church. Okay, a lot of the gullible people are in the church. Why? Because church people, we love God. We love each other. Okay, so we don't feel like someone from my church will deceive me over some products or stuff like that. All right, guess what? That is not the case. Yes, there are a lot of gullible people here. But take note, to a certain degree, this is like a public place. People can come in here and they might try to deceive you. Okay, not me, but deceive you. They might join your victory groups and turn your victory groups into a marketing group or stuff like that. Okay? And I've encountered this a couple of times. There are times wherein someone would come in and they would try to steal from the church or from people in the church. Guess what? If you know of someone or you're someone who's planning to do that in this church, you just can't do that. Okay? We're keeping watch over this flock. Okay, I'm serious now. And I tell you what, whenever we catch someone trying to steal from someone in this ministry, in this church, we will exhaust all possible legal means to get you behind bars. Okay? We don't want any wolves in sheep's clothing in this ministry. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay? I let it out. Okay? Very good. A few more things and we're going to end. Next thing is slander. Okay? What is slander? Slander is speaking falsehood about another person which harms their reputation. You know, this is crazy. Look at this one. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. Now, slander means you keep going around and you what? Give falsehood. You know what's the problem with slandering? It's difficult to bring it back. I don't know if you've ever done this before. When I was a kid, I tried playing with toothpaste. Here's the problem with toothpaste. You will always get caught if you play with toothpaste. Because if you try to squeeze everything out, it's difficult to bring it back. So my mom will always catch me. Slander is something like that. You speak something against someone, I mean to other people, it's difficult to bring back the reputation of that person. It's like if you've ever tried doing pillow fight, which is easier, doing the pillow fight and then the pillow will burst and all the feathers go out. It's difficult to bring everything back. It's something like the slander is something like that. I hope and pray that you know what, we stop if you're here and you're slandering your friends outside the church or in the church. You have to stop doing that. Look at this one. Here's the problem with slander. Let's say this is person A right here. Okay? Here's the problem. Sometimes, because of our sinful nature, there are just people we don't like. Once we see this person, I don't know, for some reason, sometimes we label someone, I don't like this person. Now, here's the problem. If you don't like someone, you know what's going to happen to you? You've already prejudged the person. So what you're going to do is that you're going to watch the person from a distance. You're going to watch every single move of the person and you will what? You will be a fault finder. Not just a fault finder, but you would what? Magnify something that is menial. I saw this person, he would do this. Look at this one. The word slander comes from the Hebrew word dibah, which means evil report. Dibah? Minsan ganito. Dibah ko chinikwan yun? Next naman, yari. We would try to what? We would try to insinuate or stimulate the thinking of other people against someone. That is slander. Some of you here needs to hear this, but guess what? If you're here and you're doing this, you have to stop your Facebook rants. You have to stop your Facebook rants. Guess what? When Mark Zuckerberg worked on Facebook, They had no intention to turn that into your own personal diary. If you look at David, he would write things down. He would what? Submit it to God. All his emotions is submitted to God. Guess what? If you're angry, you're mad, you're lonely, you're sorrowful, whatever, you don't have to broadcast it to everyone. Go and tell God about your emotions. Why do you have to tell, itong taong to, ayoko itong taong, ano yung bobo, hindi niya alam na you're pertaining to him? People would know that you're pertaining to someone. And I want you to understand, here's the problem. When you post something on social media, that's not good. Number one, social media is instant. Once you press enter, it goes out right away. Not just that, it is not just covered in Dumaguete, it is not just local, it is global. Not just that, it is also permanent. Even if you delete that, someone could have gotten a screenshot of that. As a Christian person, you have to be wise even in your dealings. I've never seen so much division in this nation than last May's election. You know what my prayer is? The way we defend our candidate, I hope that's the way we defend God as well. The way you promote, I hope that's the way we promote Christianity as well. I mean, all of this nonsense that we're putting up, I want to give you a scripture that would basically back up my point. Look at this one. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Look at that one. Change speak to post. It's the same thing. You will give an account to God as a Christian for every careless words you post. Guess what? As a Christian, there's something that's expected from us. Because we're ambassadors of Christ. Amen? If you're here and you're slandering someone, stop doing that. Another thing, a few more things and we're going to end. Another thing here is false teachings. Look at this one. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Let me be very quick with this one. At the end of the day, you know what God wants from you? He doesn't want your spirituality. I mean, God doesn't want you to just be a spiritual person. Listen, God is not interested with spirituality. He's interested with what? With biblical Christianity. He's not interested with us, you know, looking spiritual, acting spiritual. No. Guess what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know what the Bible says? We worship God in what? In spirit and in truth. So I want you to understand this. As a Christian, you have to know your Bible, lest someone will come up to you and preach you the same thing, a gospel other than the gospel preached here, and you start believing. Sometimes I see this on TV, people would worship someone and they would cry. And people would ask me, if it is not true, why are they crying? Guess what? They are so sincere in what they're doing. It's just that they are sincerely wrong. Anything outside the boundaries of the Bible, friends, we don't believe it. Our lives are hinged in the truth of God's word. I want you to understand, you know, people would come up to us, why can't we just, you know, be together? We can always be together with people of other faith. But, you cannot tell me that we worship the same God. No, no. We don't worship the same God. I'm sorry, my friend, because to my knowledge, the God that you worship is different from the God that I worship. Because my Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Amen. Yeah. Students, I want you to understand this. The moment you go out of this place, you will be bombarded with so many things online, even in the campus. People will present you something like this, like the golden rule. We love the golden rule, of course. But guess what? We cannot embrace any other thing as if that is God Himself as well. No. No, we cannot do that. There's no many ways to the Father. There's only one way. And that is Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the Baptists, the Charismatics, the Pentecostals. We're basically brothers and sisters. But whenever it comes to Christian cults, whenever it comes to false religion, false ideologies, we have to stand our ground and learn how to protest. That is why it is important as a Christian that you have to know your Bible lest you will be deceived. False teachings. I want you to understand this. That is an impending storm that's coming over the shores of Dumaguete City. You know what's happening to America right now? People would say it's a great Christian nation. It's not anymore. It used to be. Every time we eradicate God's word in our day-to-day lives, we always fall into false ideologies or teachings. My encouragement for us is this one. Know your Bible. Lastly, and we're going to end. Last one is gossip. I intentionally made this last because this is what we love doing. I don't know why. I don't know why a lot of Christians love gossiping in the guise of prayer request. Bro, let's pray for that person because I heard that she did that according to that other leader. Because she heard it from another leader, from a different church that was told by the pastor. And then, that's why we have to start praying. Guess what? I ask people like that, are you really interested in praying? Or you're more interested in the information? Listen, gossip will what? Will destroy confidence. That's what the Bible teaches us. If you don't like relationships to thrive around you, then gossip as much as you want. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not be saying. What is a busybody? A busybody is someone who would what? Would fish for gossips. Now look at this. You know, my wife and I would do this. Let's say we are friends in this circle right here. Okay, here's what happened to us. As a Christian, this is your conviction. Let's say these guys right here are gossiping. What do you do as a Christian? Usually, what do? Because we don't want to participate in the gossip. What do? You shut up. Okay, you don't say anything. I mean, that's actually a good thing to do. But my wife and I would always teach people that whenever you hear someone gossiping, you don't just shut up. You protest and tell them, guys, wait, this is already gossip. Disperse. Eps, gossip na yan. The thing with gossip is this one. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. What's the similarity between gossiping and a roller coaster? It's the thrill. The thrill of knowing the information. The thrill of knowing that this person is making a mistake and you feel so exalted yourself and you look down to this other person. If you're here and you love gossiping, we better stop doing that. If you're involved in any forms of gossip that you don't have any business with, you better cut your participation in those things. A few things and we're going to end. How do we avoid gossip? Just want to show this for a while, then we're going to pray. Ask this one question. I just outlined it in 7 numbers. I got this from Acts 29 Network. Does this exact information need to be communicated by me to these people at this time, with this motive, through this medium? Try to break it down. Does this exact information, is this the right information? Or you've added something to it? You've heaped coals into it. Is this the exact information or you've just magnified it? Does this need to be communicated or is this something that we can just talk to the person about? Do we have to tell this to people? If ever we really have to tell this to people, does it have to be me or does it have to be someone else? Does it have to be me or the leader of that person? The person to whom he's accountable with? Or does it have to be me or we have to bring this up to the pastor? You folks catch that? To whom? To these people? Is this the right people that we have to talk to about this person? Because sometimes you bring it up to a group of people who have no business about the life of the person. And they're like, oh really, that happened? Let's talk to the other group. Di sampung victory group na kayo, wala kayong solusyon. Is this the right time? Is my motive right? Do I really want the person restored? Or I'm happy that he has fallen. Last, is this the right medium? Is Facebook the right medium to do this? Is email the right medium to do this? Is this the right setting to do this in the restaurant or whatever that is? If you get to master that, you'll be able to avoid gossip. I want to end this with Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgment that are true and make for peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Amen?